Our scripture reading this morning comes actually two passages. The first one is from Ecclesiastes. That's page 952 in your pew Bible. And we'll look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 to 11. Page 952 in the pew Bible, Ecclesiastes 3. Hear the word of God. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And then we'll turn to one passage in the New Testament, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's page 1648 in your pew Bible. Page 1648. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul writing to the Corinthians, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God remains forever true." Dear congregation, the year ends with a bowed over image of an old man time, carrying a sickle. It's the end of 2023. And then 2024 is often ushered in as a baby in a diaper. And like clockwork, next year the baby will be the old man with the sickle. And the cycle repeats. Time runs our lives. And we have common daily questions. What time is it? What time do we have to be there? What time will the relatives get here? What time will they leave? It's about time you got here. I don't have time for that. That takes too much time. Time goes faster as you get older. Time not only brings order to our lives, in some ways it rules our lives. Calendars and clocks, servants and masters. We put dates on things when they expire. Sometimes we check them, sometimes we don't. Maybe you should check your fridge and your medicine cabinet. We have expiration dates on them. We also have expiration dates. Who of us is marked to expire in 2024? Time is an equal opportunity employer. Each person has exactly the same number of minutes in an hour, hours in a day, days in a month, months in a year. Rich people cannot buy more time, and scientists cannot invent new minutes. And you and I cannot save time today and spend it tomorrow. Time is easy to squander. TV, how about this binge watching? our Facebook and the internet, clickbait. Even so, time is amazingly fair and forgiving. No matter how much time you have wasted in the past, you get a new opportunity each day to do it wisely. See, in creation, God established time, 24 hours in a day, and he set the seasons, springtime and harvest, summer and winter, year after year. A promise he made to Noah that would happen as long as time existed, symbolized by the rainbow. But the interesting thing is that time itself is something that God is outside of. The concept that it is always the present for God, I cannot get my mind around. I have no idea how that would work. But it's true. It is always the present. He is the I am. It's the mystery of God. He's eternal. And we cannot grasp the concept of eternity. Oh, we can in the future, that it would go on and on and on. But we can't really grasp that it had no beginning. See, in our minds, everything has to have a beginning. And then in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, we read, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. Our 1,000 years is like a day." This morning, January the 7th, 2024, the first day, the first Sunday of a new year. This year, right now, is an infant. In other words, it's a new beginning, a start over, a do-over in some ways. Now, last year, just a little reflection, last year we were all, unless you were born during that year, and I look around, I don't think any of you were, we were given 31,536,000 seconds. Or 525,600 minutes, or 8,760 hours. And the reality is, not everybody got to spend all of it. Who comes to your mind when you think of those who started 2023 with us, but didn't get to finish? Likewise, all who are here today may not be here on January the 5th, 2025, the first Sunday of next year. The gift of time is ours to spend, but it is a finite, a limited commodity. One of the old hymns we sing goes that when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more. When that happens, that's the end of time. Then it's over for everybody. But time can suddenly run out for any one of us, and we step into eternity. And an important thing for us to understand about time is we are not guaranteed any time except this very moment that we are in. Each one of us, in a split second, in the blink of an eye, could be stepping into eternity. That is why it is always important to take care of your business with God, your soul's salvation, today. Today. It's the only time we have. Now, there's an old African proverb that says, yesterday is history. And you know, the reality of that is that you, me, and $1 million can't change a thing from yesterday. There's nothing we can do yesterday. So yesterday is history, tomorrow is mystery. And today, today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. And the threshold of a new year is pretty special time. A moment to pause and reflect, to look back and also to look ahead. Psalm 90 has this wonderful verse in it. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, be aware of the time. Teach us to number our days. We're all aware of our days because we all talk in these kind of things. We say, time goes so fast. Is Ann already 3 months old? Wow, did Jimmy start school this year? I can't believe I'm in my last semester at high school or college. We went to our 40th high school reunion. Boy, do those people look old. John and Peg have been married 45 years. I can't believe I turned 22, 45, 76, 85, 95. Or, my kids are retired. How did that happen? Time doesn't wait for us or make exceptions for us. Time is methodical and constant. It can't be harnessed or controlled. We can only learn to use it well. Time reminds us that the important time is now. Now. This, of course, is also what Jesus teaches. Always dealing with the present. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus instructs us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, the same words that Paul uses in Corinthians, don't receive God's grace in vain. Embrace the grace made available to us in Jesus. And then he says, what's he add? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Focus on today. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his devotionals on time, states, our goal in life shouldn't be how to find more time, but how to use wisely what we have. How to use wisely what we have. We are responsible for how we use our time. We are responsible for what we do with it. Look back on 2023. Would you say you used your time wisely? Were you a good steward of the time that God allotted you? And since you are here this morning, this includes myself, we all got a full year. How'd we do? How responsible were we? Do you feel you kept focus on what was important? The key is always management. Time management studies are really interesting. You know, we keep budgets for our money. It's also good to keep a budget on your time. It provides a lot of insight when you do. Make a chart of 1 week, just for 1 week, 168 hours, and then document how you spent that week. How much time was spent on television? Reading, texting, just spending time on the phone, Facebook time, online, just the number of hours people spend online just looking. And then coffee time, having a couple of beers just to relax, watching sports, working out, busy with pets, work, school, driving, eating, sleeping, time with family, with friends, church, Bible study, prayer. See, this isn't all bad stuff. That's not the implication here. But this is what our lives are made up of. How do we use our time? And when we monitor it, you'll be really surprised. You'll be really surprised how you use your time. I really encourage you to do it. We do it periodically. I'm always surprised by it. It's like, oh, I didn't realize I spent that much time on the internet. I didn't think I spent that much time sleeping. I didn't think I spent that much time playing cards. It's very insightful. It'll give you a good insight as to where your time goes. See, one of the concerns for us as Christians is that we hear more than we do. James teaches not only be hearers of the word, but also doers. And how do we implement what we know? Well, Jesus clearly states in Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words of mine, and that's all of us, no one is exempt because we are hearing these words even now. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Don't be foolish with your time allotment. And Paul reminds us this morning, out of Corinthians, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We are not meant to be shelf models. God doesn't save us and then put us on the shelf and say, okay, that one's saved, good, I'll look for somebody else. He saves us so that we can participate in the redemptive work that he is doing in this world. We have not received the gift of salvation from God. What's the gift of salvation? The forgiveness of our sins and then the promise of eternal life to not do anything with it. We just come from Christmas. If you gave gifts to people who said thank you very much and just put it on a shelf or put it in a closet, how would you feel about that? Be very disappointing, wouldn't it? You were hoping they'd be excited about it, that they would use it, that they would do something with it. That's the gift of salvation. We've been given it to do something with it. When we don't do something with it, that is receiving God's grace in vain. What's in vain mean? It means to be fruitless, to have no effect, no purpose. But this passage out of 2 Corinthians, it conveys an urgency, a soberness. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. It's God's grace. God's grace, and he's reaching out to us. He's always reaching out to us. And over in the Bible, this is reiterated. Here's some examples. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And in the New Testament book of Hebrews, this is what we read. Again, urgency. Today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. See, hardening your hearts doesn't necessarily mean that you're rebellious. It can just mean that you're so used to it, it just kind of bounces off. It's like, yeah, I've heard this before. Sometimes the preacher gets a little excited. Yeah, they were good words. That's a hardened heart. When the Word of God doesn't penetrate your heart and touch you and stir you and say, okay, what does this mean to me? What does this mean in my life? How does this adjust how I'm living? I invite you to ask yourself, do I have a hardened heart? Do I have a hardened heart? I've gotten so used to hearing all this stuff that I've just become complacent. It goes on in Hebrews, encourage one another daily. See, it always talks about community. We're in this together. No lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Encourage one another daily when? As long as it's called today. The Bible always deals with today. Now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency. Why? Because of eternal implications. That this isn't just about the here and now. This is for the forevermore. God's presence in our lives will affect every area of our daily lives. It will affect how we spend our time. Have you ever thought about that? The time you have isn't really yours. Just like the money you have isn't really yours. The body you have isn't really yours.
There is actually nothing you have that's really yours. It's true for me too. We are just called to be stewards. And we are called to be faithful stewards with what God has entrusted to us. So I want to ask you this morning, are there changes that you know you should make in your life? We're on the threshold of a new year. There's an opportunity to look at, okay, let's do something different. Maybe there's things that have been eating away at you. Maybe what I call God nudges and angel whispers. And you know, you're aware of it. Are there changes you should make? Just thinking about it isn't going to make any difference. You know, there's an old saying, if I keep doing what I always did, I keep getting what I always got. And that'll be true in 2024, just like it was in 2023 and 2020 and 1995. Am I going to do anything different? 2024, it's a fresh start, symbolic of what God can do for us. It's just God brought the perfect illustration. I don't even think they talked about snow last night, right? And I got up this morning and thought, oh, this fits in perfect, because my next line here is, it's like the pristine countryside after a snowfall. And God said, I can do that. Wasn't it absolutely beautiful? And he says, I'll give you a do-over. Doesn't matter what your life has looked like. You know, there's a lot of ugliness under that snow. When God covers us with himself, we look as pristine as the countryside does. When God gives us a do-over, it covers our ugly past. As we stand on the threshold of 2024, he encourages us to manage our time well. To manage our time well. Don't just coast along in the ruts that you've gotten so familiar and that have become so comfortable. Are you managing your time well? To do that, you also need a spirit of discernment. That's why we read Ecclesiastes 3. To know if it's time to reap or a time to sow. A time to mend or a time to tear. A time to weep or a time to laugh. A time to dance or a time to mourn. And always to remember, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And he has set eternity in our hearts. I find that such an interesting line. That's why we went all the way to verse 11 in Ecclesiastes. He has set eternity in our hearts. Even people who don't want anything to do with God, they always wonder, what happens when I die? God has set eternity in our hearts. We know that there's more to life than what we experience right here. And in it all, he says, don't use my grace in vain. I want to give three suggestions for application. One, I encourage you, take an inventory of your life. It's a good morning to do that, the first Sunday of 2024. What is your relationship with the Lord like? Is it a living, vibrant relationship? Do you engage in this relationship all week? Or is this a visit you do with the Lord Sunday mornings, 9:30? I go over to 8th Reformed, we spend an hour, and then I go back to my old routines. Be real honest. What is your relationship like with the Lord during the week when you leave this place? What kind of vitality does it have? Do you spend time in personal devotions? Do you do prayer time? I always encourage people at least start with 15 minutes. If you say, I don't have 15 minutes, start with praying for lying. Everybody has 15 minutes to spend with the Lord. Now, faithful church attendance, I think, is really important because it's good to do this corporately. to come together, to sing His praises, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to be together as family. How about other things? You participate in Sunday school, Bible studies? What's your hunger level to spend time in the Word and to know more about this one you call Savior and Lord? I invite you to do this faithfully for a month. If at the end of the month you say, that didn't do anything for me, at least you tried it. I also know if you do this faithfully for a month, you won't stop. I know that as well. And if you are already doing these things, you know that what I'm saying is true, that you are experiencing real blessings because you're walking close with Him. So that was the first thing. Take the inventory. What is your life like, your relationship with the Lord? Then secondly, make sure that God is the senior partner in your life. You know, one of the bumper stickers, you don't see it very much anymore, always drove me nuts. It said, God is my co-pilot. And I'm like, what an idiot. Why wouldn't you let God be the pilot? You should be the co-pilot. In our lives, though, do we handle God as a co-pilot? Or an insurance agent? God, I'll call you as soon as I go off the rails. But up to that point, just let me drive. Is God the senior partner in your life? Remember Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Okay, that was the first point, your relationship with the Lord. Then the second point is, make sure He's your senior partner. All these things will be added unto you. So what does that pertain to? Well, seek His leading with your family, with relationships, your personal goals, your purpose in life. Ask God honestly, Lord, is my life headed in the right direction? Is my life headed in the right direction? Am I on target? Have I been sidetracked? Or am I just dead in the water? I don't feel a thing. Which leads us to number three. I think a really important question to ask the Lord is, Lord, why am I here? What is the purpose in my life? What is the purpose in my life? Why am I here? He has a purpose for each one of us. Scripture talks about that over and over. But sometimes we let our own purposes push that out. That question, why am I here, is a question for every season in life. Young kids can ask that, teens can ask that, young adults, middle age, and also the elderly. I think one of the biggest dangers for elderly retired people is that they say, I've paid my dues. I'm done. This is for me. I get to do what I want now. And if I feel like coasting, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not sure that's biblical. I'm not sure that's biblical. A dangerous question to ask God is, are there changes I need to make? I know we all hate change. Ask God, are there changes I need to make in my life? I promise you this, the more time you spend with God, the closer you will walk with Him, the more real He will become to you, the better, the richer, the fuller. The better, the richer, the fuller 2024 will be. Remember, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Have a blessed 2024. Father, we come to You. We thank You that You're a faithful God who goes with us from one year to the next, from one second to the next. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we can trust You because You are a faithful God. First and foremost, You're faithful to Yourself, and that we are the benefactors. You are faithful to us. Father, thank You for the richness of Your Word, Old Testament passages like Ecclesiastes 3, and then the words, the reminder words in 2 Corinthians 6, all inspired by Your Holy Spirit. Father, my prayer is that not one person here would have a calloused heart or a hard heart, but would want to let your Spirit just penetrate their lives in such a way that you can mold and shape them, no matter what age they are, because you are a living, vibrant God who wants to be in that kind of relationship with us. Again, we thank you for the richness of your word, and on the threshold of this new year, will you have your way with us so that your Spirit can run rampant, not only in our lives, but in our midst. We surrender to your Lordship, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.